him. He's how would Brady be? Anybody know how he would be? How old? 10. And then we got Christy Brinkley. Oh, no, Bailey Brinkley. And, of course, she's ever been as pretty as Christy Brinkley. So she's 14 today. Raise your hand, Bailey. Okay. So let's all stand and sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And I thought the congregation looked like there's some not in here, but there's just now coming out of the one class. So we'll give them a minute or two to get in here. We're going to sing page 377, Set My Soul Afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be a witness, fill me soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be a witness, for Christ lives in me. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Remain standing for opening prayer.
Good morning. Good to see you. Good to have everyone. Isn't it good to be together in the name of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. That's a good prayer, a good song to start out to set our soul afire. Be on fire for the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace. Father, we thank you that you've brought us safe back into the house of the Lord. And Father, we ask you today just to bless, lead, and guide. And Father, we do ask your blessing today. We ask for your touch. We invite you. We want your presence here. We want you to be in the midst. We won't be led of you. And Father, we want to exalt your name today. May you be lifted high above all. And Father, we just ask you for your touch. Lord, you'd change us today, and we'd leave different than we was when we came in. And Father, we pray and ask these things in the wonderful, precious, and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Your prayer room will be at 5:45. Our worship will be at 6. So, and be going. We'll be tell us anything we need maybe to work on, and give us some pointers and tips. So we're excited about that. 10th. So, and 17th, it's in your bulletin, God's Man Conference. Follow me, and it's 4th will be our Easter egg hunt at the Fellowship Hall. And so remember that. We will kind of get our heads together for this, for the Easter egg. Is remembering all in our bulletin, all the big list we have. And we'll take any others. I was given Brittany, this is Sister Joyce's daughter. She's in the hospital. Shirley Fender's niece. So remember Brittany. Is there any others? What's her name? This be all. Oh, well, let's come and gather around the altar this morning. All that'll come. Okay. Remember Becky. Brother Nathan, would you lead us? If our ushers will come, we'll receive a morning tithe and offering. Brother Nathan, would you ask the blessing of the offering?
Lord, thank you for another day you blessed us with. I pray you may serve today and bring some answers. I pray you may follow. Bless us with the gift of this day. Just bring us this song that they hear. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. That song ought to get us excited this morning. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, that song ought to bring a smile on her face. Aren't you glad he's coming? Praise the Lord. Boy, if we didn't have hope in that, we'd be miserable this morning. Apostle Paul said, had hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. And I'm thankful for that blessed assurance that we have as believers. Amen. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. Any others? Amen. You know, when he answers her prayers, that encourages us to pray more, doesn't it? Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Acts chapter 19. We're still in the book of Acts, Acts 19. Paul is now on his third missionary journey. And I want to preach a message this morning. This is a lot of difference in opinions in this passage. These couple verses I'm going to read, and I want to preach, and I want to preach a message the way the Lord led me when God touches. When God touches. And so I had to bite my tongue in Sunday school because they just started at the end of the class getting right in my message, Brother Jim. And I said, but if you would stand with me, Acts chapter 19, we want to read verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our service. Lord, thank you for being able to feel your presence. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for healing us. Everything you do for us, all the prayers you answer, we just praise you for it and lift your name up now. You're so worthy of our praise. And Lord, that we don't deserve anything but judgment and punishment and hell, but you love us so much and you have given us so many things. And Lord, that we can call upon you today. God, you save us, you heal us, you encourage us and lift us along, and we thank you for it. Lord, I pray now you touch the old preacher boy. Lord, you just bless this service. God, have your way in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Paul stayed here in this part of Ephesus on this trip about 3.5 years. And he preached and witnessed. This was a very wicked city, the city of Ephesus. And the temple of Diana was there. And at that time in the modern world, it was one of the seven wonders of the world. It was very huge. If I can't remember, 126, 120-some columns. It was just tremendous the how big it was. The city was full of idolatry. The city was full of witchcraft, sorcery, and all of this. It was just an evil place. And God had now, Paul was right in the middle of this. And God was using him in a special way. It says here in verse 11 that he wrought special miracles. Remarkable, unbelievable miracles. Things that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God was doing wonderful and magnificent things through the Apostle Paul. And so we see here that here Paul had sent out some aprons and handkerchiefs, and folks were
being healed, and evil spirits were being parted and leaving out of folks. And so Paul was demonstrating God's power. God was using the Apostle Paul in such a tremendous way. I've read some commentaries said this may have been the highlight. This may have been Paul's best at his best right here at this time. And God just was blessing him in such a way. See, if we remember the Apostle Paul when he came in and he started these missionary journeys back of the first ones, they beat him. They ran him out of town. They threw him in jail. They left him for dead. They stole all of these things that he has gone through. Now God, and he's still, when he comes into town, he goes to preaching the gospel. Whatever God wants to cause him to do, no matter what it is, the Lord, he goes and he says, Lord, I'll go. I don't care what they do to me. You've called me to preach. And now God's blessing his ministry. And I want us to know here, and I don't think for a minute that this was anything special about these aprons and handkerchiefs. I'll talk about them a little more. It's not Paul. It was a man that was at a place in his life, in his spiritual life, and God had wrought special things upon him and was using him in a special way. He was an apostle, and of course God used the apostles to establish the church. And but I want, the Lord has tucked me away, and I want to talk this morning a little bit about God's touch upon our lives. And God touching and the word healing, and the Lord just really tucked me, and I'll spend a lot of time in Psalm 103, but the Lord just really tucked me in and talking about, in Isaiah 53:5, the Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I believe today that God heals just the same as he did back then. I don't believe there's any difference. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I'll tell you that if we'll let him get the glory and the honor, God will still work in the midst today as like he did back then. He goes on, and in the book of Malachi, the Bible says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings. Boy, I tell you, ain't you glad that Jesus Christ has got, he's the healer. He's the one with the example that he set for the disciples and the apostles, and what a perfect man, and the healing was in his wings, or in his borders, or in the rays of his light of the sun. But I want to take you back to Exodus chapter 15. In verse 22 through 27, and the children of Israel had now come out of Egyptian bondage, and they were moving, and they were now had come, and they were getting thirsty. The waters of Marah was bitter, not fit to drink. They'd started grumbling. Sound like, I'm convinced they were Free Will Baptists. But they started grumbling and complaining. And God told Moses, he said, cut a tree down, showed him the tree, and he cast it into the waters, and they was able to drink the water. But I want to read you a verse in verse 26. And said, if thou diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, the ones that he had put upon the Egyptians, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is where we get one of the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. We talked about Jehovah Jireh in Sunday school this morning. that God will provide. Jehovah Rapha is God is our healer. God will heal. I tell you what, this morning, don't know why God laid this message on my heart. There may be someone here today that needs some healing to the body or to the soul. And we're going to talk about different healings that they are. But I'll tell you what, I'm no faith healer. I'm not going to don't claim anything. But I know the healer. I tell you what, I know the God that can raise you up from the dead, that can save your soul out of hell, and it can heal your infirmities. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! Aren't you glad this morning that we're God's still on the throne? See, I believe physical healing is symbolic of the healing that we really need. I'm convinced today that we're in more need of spiritual healing than we are physical healing. If you look across our nation today, boy, we need some spiritual healing. I'm going to go a step further. If you look across our churches today, we need some spiritual healing. We need some a touch from God. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 103. Boy, we got started early this morning, Gary. I got plenty of time. Praise the Lord. I may get the whole message in today. Psalm 103 at verse 1. The Bible said, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He starts out with that, and David is big about praising the Lord. David's huge on giving God the glory that he deserves. David, you go through Psalm one after another, and David will exalt the Lord because God had done wrought some great things in David's life. God had used David in a special way. God had moved and led him. Well, I tell you what, I just got... The Lord gave me another message while I was preparing this message. Usually it don't happen that way. And the other night that I was in the study and I got to think about David. So I just, for some reason, turned over to 1 Samuel chapter 17, started looking at David and Goliath. And the Lord gave me a message right then. And I put down 5 points there before I went to bed in there and thinking how God used David. Boy, and David never let him forget it either, did he? David wrote songs. He praised. I could just see the little fella up on the rock somewhere playing that harp and just praising the Lord and them sheep grazing and him just glorifying his name. I tell you what, there's a lot in that that we could learn. Amen. Goes on to verse 2, says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not his benefits. Forget not his divine dealings. Forget not all the good things that God's ever done. I don't know about you, but I kind of forget the good things and remember the bad. When I'm sitting around all discouraged, got the pooch lip hanging down, I remember the bad, but I forget the good. David said, here, don't forget the good things God's done for you. Don't forget what God's blessed you. His divine touch from above. If we took time this morning and went around here, we could all get, testify to some good things that God's done for us. Amen. He's blessed us, hasn't he? If you're breathing today, you've got a divine blessing from above. Amen. And if you're able to tie your own shoes this morning, well, glory, we're blessed. Amen. I was able to eat 2 bowls of cereal, Brother Ray. One wasn't hard to get it, so I had to eat that second one. I fed myself, poured my own milk. Glory, I'm blessed. David said, don't forget the blessings. Don't forget what God's done for you. He said, this is the reason to praise him. And then, that wasn't enough. He goes on and lists them. And we're going to go through them here right quick. The first one, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. As Frank Wood says right there, we'll take a recess and shout a little while. We'll take a running spell. He's forgiven our iniquities. All of the perversities, all of the evil, mean things. And I did some research on the word here, who forgiveth all. I really dug deep on that word all. You know what that means? All. All means all, and that's all ever means, what a little boy said one time. It's all, everything. The whole kit and caboodle, the whole enchilada, the chips and the whole bag, everything. God is the one that forgives us from no matter what we do. Woo! You might say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. It don't matter. Well, glory, it don't matter what we've done. He said, I forgive them all, and I don't have no more sense, brother. I didn't believe it. He's going to forgive them all.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. The one that forgives all our iniquities, all our sins. In Matthew 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go. Woo! When the men they brought in with the palsy before Christ, he said, before I heal your infirmities, I'm going to take care of the most important part first. I'm going to save your soul. I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. Then we'll worry about the healing. But the most important part, and this morning, that if you're under my voice, the most important part of the message today is that we get our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. That He takes care of the iniquities, and He takes care of the sin problem is the first thing that we need to worry about. He's not going to be able to touch your physical body until your spiritual body is in the shape it ought to be. Ezekiel 18, verse 20, the Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. And this morning, I thank the Lord you don't have to bear my sin. I thank the Lord I don't have to bear yours. I'll give an account for mine, and several years ago, I took care of that problem at an old-fashioned altar, and I said, God, I'm giving it to you. I want you to change my life. I want you to save my soul. I want you to use me, and I want to make heaven my home. Then that song has a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Praise the Lord. I'm glad this morning that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't claim nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the greatest need of mankind is spiritual healing. You may be here this morning and need a touch from God. You may need some spiritual healing in your life. Day's a good day to take care of that. He goes on and he says that who healeth all thy diseases. He took care of the iniquities. He said, now the Lord that heals our diseases. And this kind of runs part of it in with being healed spiritually. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, there's the curse put on man, put on mankind. That's when we started dying. That's when we started fighting weeds in the garden. That's when women, it was the curse of bearing children in pain and sorrow. It's the curse that the earth, everything, it was the curse that came because of sin. And when God heals, that He takes care of the curse. In heaven, the curse is gone. We don't have to live with that. There won't be no funeral homes in glory. There won't be no jails in glory. Praise the Lord. They won't be eyeglasses in glory. They won't be hearing aids in glory. They won't be crutches in glory. They won't be walkers in glory. All of them things are done away. The curse is gone. Woo! You're talking about healing. That's like the song that says, I'm a winner either way. If I go or if I stay, I'm going to win this thing. If you want to heal my body, that's okay. If you want to take me to glory, that's okay. See, our lives are saved because of the pardon. But also, there's physical healing. I have seen it. I've had God touch my body. You're not going to get me to believe nothing else that God can still heal today. Amen. Paul sent out these handkerchiefs, these aprons, and they was rags. This would be my hang. I can use it for example. I didn't even mean to. I've been wiping the sweat with it. I don't think I've blowed my nose in it yet. I wiped my sweat with it. Paul was handkerchiefs and he was working in a tent maker. And I'm sure he was wiping the sweat. Also, the apron would be, us construction guys would call it a tool pouch. But aprons that come down with the trade to hang down. He sent these out. I don't know, in my mind, I just wonder if Paul was having to work a lot. Wasn't able to get out amongst both people as much as he would like. God said, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that problem. And the sweat, his handkerchiefs and his aprons he took out, and folks were being healed. Demons were being cast out of people just by these aprons and these handkerchiefs. Just regular old handkerchiefs, regular old aprons. I don't know if you call Paul a regular man or not, but he's a human. God had bestowed special blessings upon him. He is an apostle. God used him, so I'm saying he blessed him special. But it's God that gives the increase. It's God that does the healing. It's Him that does the work. And as these handkerchiefs and these things went out, that God used them. And see what the healing, God, it was that point of contact. Moses, what did God use for his point of contact? It was that staff, wasn't it? Elijah, what was it? It was his mantle. Yet one time Jesus made clay and put on a guy's eyes. Is the point of contact. And that's what these handkerchiefs, and he said, was the point of contact, was the conduit that God used to bring His healing. Well, I'm glad this morning that God still got means and conduits that He uses to heal folks and bring touches up on their lives. Elisha. This verse just jumped out at me so much. When I thought about it, I couldn't get it off my mind. And it came to pass as they was burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Woo! Woo, glory. You're talking about the power of God. You're talking about the power of God upon a man's life, that even his bones brought healing, to brought a man back to life. See, that was the conduit, the point of contact was how what God used to manifest his awesome power and his miracles. The word miracles here in chapter 12 is the word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. His miracles, his dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. Same way that in Matthew chapter 9, the woman pressed through the crowd and she said, if I could only get and touch the hem of Jesus Christ, I know I'll be healed. It was the point of contact. It was what God used to bring healing to that. And her faith, Jesus didn't even say a word, you remember? He said, who touched me? The apostle said, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, not like this. Well, glory, I felt a virtue go out. There's somebody come believing and trusting God and touch me and they'll leave a different. And you remember what he said to the woman? He said, my daughter. The only place in the Bible where Jesus calls anybody a daughter. He said, my daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee. Go and be whole. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. The healing touch. Even in Acts 5:15, it's the same conduit. Insomuch that they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. We're being healed by Peter's shadow. Glory. You talking about power? See, that's the same God we trust today. And when we come and gather around this altar and we anoint with oil, we're praying to the same God that saved the souls and raised them up by the shadow of Peter. I know the apostles was special guys and God used them in special ways, but boy, I'm telling you, I believe that power is just as real today. Just ask our cancer survivors. Man, just ask our folks. Then in James 5:14, the Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is just another one of the conduits. One of the touches that God uses. I'll tell you. We as Christians, and if you look in Ephesians 6, we're in warfare. We are in spiritual warfare. And we are in it every day. It just seems like Monday mornings is the worst battle that you'll have. The greatest arsenal in the weapons that we have in our arsenal is prayer. That is our greatest weapon. The Word of God, the only offensive weapons He gives is the Bible and prayer. All right, we'll go a little further. Then in verse 4 he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? In Revelation 20 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found, written, into the lake of fire. And see, in this verse here tells us that he redeemeth thy life from destruction. This is what we've been redeemed from. And if you're here today and you've been saved, you've called upon Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you're trusting him to come and take you to heaven one glorious day, glory, hallelujah, you ought to be up on walking the pews right now that we have been saved from hell. It's a lot more comes with it. But the big thing is, I don't have to go to hell today. I have been redeemed. I've been bought. I've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now heaven's my home. Woo, glory. David knowed what he's talking about, didn't he? Praise be to the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Your physical body, the first Adam, it's going to die. It's going to return to the dust. But in Jesus Christ, all is made alive. Born once, die twice. Born twice, never die. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? You're talking about the touch of healing. Of all these points, it's touches of healing that he's done for us. That Ephesians 1:3. The Bible says that we are made to sit in heavenly places. We have been as if we've already, with the faith, the same faith that Abraham used this morning that we seen in the Sunday school class. When Abraham told those servants, he said, me and the lad will be back. God had just told him he's going to kill him. But he had so much faith in God that he said, I'm taking the boy up on the mountain. God had told me that he was going to raise seed up out of Isaac, and Isaac would be my inheritance, and that he would bless the world through Isaac. And he said, me and Isaac's going up on the mountain, and I'm going to kill him, and he's going to come back down with me. Glory, hallelujah. That's the faith that he had in God. If we got that kind of faith, that God will use us in special ways. You talking about love and kindness. You talking about mercies that he bestows upon us. What kind of love and kindness and mercies you talking about, Brother Tim? I'm talking about pardon, peace, redemption, adoption, earnest of the Spirit. I belong in hell. But he adopted me into the family of God. And now I'm Saint Timothy. Amen. I'm not just an old redneck anymore. And then it comes to heavenly things. I am a saint of God. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus, been pardoned, been redeemed. I've been changed. My citizenship has been changed from here to here. Woo, glory. No wonder David got so excited. Ooh. Boy, Gary, you can't give me as much time next week. You ever bought a piece of property? And when you buy it, you pay earnest money down on it. What that means, that you've not possessed that yet, but it's yours. Or if somebody buys something off of you, they give you earnest money. And that means you're the owner, but you've not taken full possession yet. But it's yours, and it's coming. You take it to the bank, it's going to be there. when the day that we got saved and the Holy Spirit of God moved within your heart, that's the earnest that you're going to receive heaven. That's say, have you ever felt the Holy Spirit? Guess what you're in. That means you're going to heaven. That means that God has bought you. God has saved your soul. God has done everything that it makes it possible for you to make it to heaven. And the Spirit of God is the sign of that.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
See, to live in heavenly places means that you live with all your decisions and everything you do in light of eternity. Everything we do, we don't worry about. That's why God, the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these things will be added unto you. If He clothes the field, Jesus said that these lilies of the field, they don't spin, they don't toil, they can't make a garment. But even Solomon, all his splendor, is not arrayed as one of them. And the birds have no idea what's going on. And He loves them enough, He feeds them. If He feeds that bird, and He clothes the field like that, what's He going to do with me and you? I mean, really, He sent the best heaven had for us.
Amen.
We're pretty special.
Amen. Amen.
I don't do this. I know, don't look at your neighbor and say, you're special. Jim, you're special. And then in verse 5, the Bible says, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Ever so often, the eagles, what's that they called it? Molding. They get off, they say they're renewed like young. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, I had a touch of that. You guess Rhonda and Joanne, on the way to church, I felt so bad, I didn't even know if I was going to be able to preach. I don't know. Just one of them mornings, I just woke up, and man, I felt bad. I know why now. The devil didn't want this message preached.
Amen.
But when I got in the pulpit, I feel like I'm 15 years younger. Now, I'll get to feeling old again on the way home, but but say, who satisfies thy mouth? The Bible said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You know, if we hunger after the things of God and we seek His Word and we seek Him in prayer and we go wholeheartedly and say, Lord, take my life and use me and bless and touch my family, and God, I want to be a servant of You, and forgive me and cleanse me and help me. That's what the Word of God wants us. And we get to that point, He'll fill us. Bible says He'll give us the desires of our heart when our heart's in the right place. Now, He's not going to give us desires if we desire crazy stuff, but if our heart's right, He'll give us things that we long for. You know, prayer that you could pray and God will bless. Lord, help me lead someone to the Lord today. Help me lead someone to the Lord this week. Help me, Lord, to put me in the place that I can witness. See, these words are special miracles. Boy, I tell you, Lord's blessed our church. If you're here this morning, we've had some services as this, whoo. We've seen God move and touch our folks, and how blessed we are today. Isn't God good? Isn't there a reason that we praise Him? Isn't there a reason we sing Majesty so much? Because He is so awesome and so good to us. I love Him so much today. But the Lord laid this on my heart, and I was praying last night, and I said, Lord, I want a way to tie this message up and way to finish it off and leave the folks with something. And the Lord led me in a different way. I mean, that just kind of blew my mind what he laid on my heart. Be laid on my heart in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, not every one of us is going to be healed or God's going to touch us in the way we would like for him to. That don't mean he can't. That don't mean he won't. But it means there's a reason for it. And God can use that reason to make you a greater witness than he would be if he healed you.
Amen.
Amen. Either way, he still blesses us above measure. Amen. Paul said, in my weakness, then I am made strong. In my weakness, he's glorified. You know, I never had thought of this last night. Now, this is a man, the Apostle Paul, that raised the guy from the dead. This is a guy that they took his sweat rags and people was healed by it. Couldn't get healing for himself. That hit me like a ton this morning, or last night. I thought, wow. But what if God would have healed him? We might not have the Apostle Paul that we know. He said, lest I be exalted above measure. And if pride moves in, the Lord moves out. I mean, the healing power will move out. The touch of God used, they're being able to use him. So the Lord, if God don't heal you, don't doubt him. And don't doubt you. That's one of those things I can't explain. But God is in control. What did Eli that said when Samuel told him what was going to happen to his sons? He said, well, he's God and he can do what he wants to. He's in control. But he's got a reason. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning. If you've got a spiritual need, will you come today? I've just felt different over this message, and I just think the Lord is wanting to move spiritually and physically. If you have a physical need today, will you come and allow him to work and move in your life? You might have a loved one that needs a touch. Come today for this. Will you come? Father, we come to you in prayer, and we thank you, Lord, for this day. For your blessing and Lord, that we can know that you're in control of everything, and Father, that there's nothing that we go through that you don't allow. Lord, I ask you now today that you would touch, that you bless this time of invitation. God, you'd bring physical healing to our bodies. Lord, most of all, you'd bring spiritual healing to our bodies. Father, that we may, some of us may need touch in the financial area, may need touch in other areas, may need a job, or may need different things. God, today we just pray, Lord, that you'd touch us and help us to bring all of our needs.
this morning. Will you come? Will you come this morning and allow God to move? If it's bigger than you are, if you've tried and tried and tried to take care of the problem, the doctors has tried. Will you come this morning? Come to the great physician. The Bible said Jesus is the great physician. There's nothing beyond his power. There's nothing beyond what he can do. Will you come? You may have a family member that's way out there. You say, preacher, he's about gone, or she's about gone too far. I'm about to give up hope on them. Don't give up just yet. Don't let this forget about it. They've got a soul and going to live on somewhere. Once you come to the altar and claim that one today, claim the healing, the spiritual healing for a loved one. God just laid that on me in a special way just then. And you might say, preachers are way out there. It don't matter how far we're out there. It don't matter what they've done. And God's still in this saving business today. Will you come? Won't you come and storm the altar for that one? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Will you come? Will you come? Come and allow God to do the work. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're saved this morning? That if you left this world that you would go to heaven? If you haven't, and you can't say, yeah, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, will you come? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. This morning, we might have to move just a little bit. The Lord laid this on my heart. I want every one of us on this side to get a chain started and hold hands. This side the same way. We would just move around. Everybody. Let's tie this together. We could probably go all the way around the church if you're.